Okay, we are in the final part of our series, Extravagant Generosity and the Meaning of Money. And so we've asked this question just off the top. We said, so if your money started talking to you, what would it say to you? And we said that we probably wouldn't be surprised. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I know. But what we said is very surprising is the parallel between what our money would say if it could talk and what Jesus did say when he did talk. And we said that, yes, Jesus talked more about money than actually heaven. And we said, so what would money say? Maybe one of the first things that money would say is, money would say, hey, I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. And we talked about the fact that money actually becomes most meaningful when it becomes a means to an end that is not you. That's how anything finds its meaning. It becomes a means to an end. And so we ask you to do a little homework on part one, and we ask you to think about this question. It's such an important question. To what ends do you want your life to be a means? To what ends? What's your vision? To what ends do you want to see your life be a means? And so then the second thing that we said that money might say if it were to begin talking to us is, I make a better servant than a master. I'm a better servant than a master. That your self-control, money would say, determines which one of us gets in control. That your self-control determines which one of us gets in control, because our money issues has less to do with money income and more to do with some of the character flaws that we carry and leverage money with. And so wrapping up today, I want to talk about the third thing that money might say, and I'm going to be a little shorter today, and please don't cheer, but I want Pastor Christian to have a little time today. So the third thing that money might say is this, that I'm easy to keep up with, but I am difficult to catch up with. I'm easy to keep up with, but I'm difficult to catch up with. Keep up or you'll be playing catch up. Because when we fall behind financially or fall behind tracking where our money goes, that's when we begin to stress. That's when we begin to get worried. That's when we begin to feel like money begins to take over. And everybody has kind of been in that spot where you feel like it's controlled your whole life because it bleeds into every part of your life. And so, consequently, we should be knowing where our money is going. We should be knowing where our money is going. In other words, you should never say to yourself, huh, what happened? I don't know. I'm not sure where it all went, because you bring in a certain amount. So we should be knowing where our money is going. So money would say, listen, I am easy to track, but if you lose track of me, you could lose your peace of mind. You could lose your peace of mind. And if you lose your peace of mind for a long period of time, you could feel like you're just simply losing your mind. So we all, as a result, consequently, we need a plan to track our money. We need a plan to track our money, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Now, this is especially important when you find yourself in the years of plenty, when you find that you have extra. It's especially important to track your money, not because you have to, but because it's in your best interest, as we're going to see. Or to borrow a little bit of what Jesus taught, he said, if you're not careful, Jesus said, for those of you who have extra, if you're not careful, those of you who have more, if you're not careful, you will begin to hoard for the future. You will begin to store up treasures on earth, and as a result, you will be embarrassed as a result later on. And so, the challenge today, I gave you a challenge last week to this challenge today is this. I want you to, for the next 2 months, I want you to track your money. Now, I know there's all kinds of different ways you could do that, and your response might be, well, that's easy, my bank statement, whatever. But there's one thing to say you can track your money. It's another to actually do so. So I want you to take the next couple months, track your money, and then at the end of the 2 months, you might be surprised where some of it went. I didn't know I ate through so much money. I didn't know. And so when you, after 2 months, after you track, then you adjust. Then you adjust. Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's very nice and practical and everything. And I would just want to say that this whole series, It's more than just trying to be practical. We want to be practical, but it's so much more than that. In fact, that as a follower, Jesus taught his followers specifically why this is such a big deal. And this is why I say that. Most of you were raised in the church, and you learn how to pray to God because of what Jesus taught. Most of you were raised in the church, and you've experienced God's mercy and grace and salvation just as Jesus taught that you would experience it. Right? In fact, Jesus, your whole outlook on, your whole worldview and outlook is mirrors what Jesus taught. Many of you have trusted God because Jesus taught you that your Heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. And so why would we not lean on the teachings that Jesus taught when it comes to money and possessions? Why would we not lean on that? I mean, look, when you're sick, you ask God to intervene for your health, or when you have a bunch of challenges with your kids, or your kids go prodigal, you ask God to intervene on the behalf of your children, or when they go away to college, you ask that they'll for protection from God. In other words, as a follower, you invite God into everything you can possibly invite God into. So why wouldn't we invite God into intervening and being a part of our possessions and our money? And let me just answer that. Because in many of those categories, you don't have any control anyway. And two, many of those categories you can't see. So Jesus was brilliant 2,000 years ago. He understood that money and possessions is pretty much where the rubber hits the road in terms of your ultimate devotion. Because it's much easier to give your heart to Jesus than to give your money to Jesus. And so he knew this. So over and over and over, he says, come on. You trust me with your marriage, you trust me with your kids, you trust me with your health, you trust me with your job. Why don't you come and trust me with your money and your possessions? And what did Jesus teach about money and possessions? Well, he was pretty clear. He said, it's not yours anyway. It belongs to my Heavenly Father. Jesus says, look, you have to understand, you're not an owner. You're a manager. That's why this parable of the talents is so famous. So here's Jesus. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the intersection between heaven and our lives, our daily lives. What's the kingdom of heaven about? And Jesus says it's kind of like a wealthy man who goes on a trip and he trusts his wealth to a couple servants. So in a parable, of course, the wealthy man, it represents God, and the servants represent you and me. And so the wealthy man says, I'm going to go away for a while, and I'm entrusting you my wealth, so I want you to manage it the way I would manage it. I want you to do with it the way I would do with it, and then I'm going to be coming back, and I'll just check in. And so as the parable goes, two of those servants, they do a great job, and the other one, not so much. Now let me ask you, what's the difference between the two who did well and the one that did not? It's not how much money they had. It's what they did with what they were asked to manage. In other words, what Jesus really wanted to say, his point was that 100% of it belonged to the master and 0% of it belonged to the servants, that they were managers, not owners. Now, let me tell you why this is good news. This is great because every once in a while, and again, no matter how much money you have, every once in a while, somebody makes you feel guilty for having, the money that you have. But here's the good news. You should never allow anybody to make you feel guilty for how much you have. You should not allow yourself to feel guilty for making more and more and more or having a lot. You should never feel guilty about that. You know why? Because money managers don't feel guilty. Money managers feel responsible. They feel accountable, not guilty. Why? Because it's not their money. So Jesus says, I want you to track your money. I want you to track it, especially in those seasons when you have more, because it's not yours. So he says, come on. And so he was clear about that. So we should be knowing where our master's money is going. And that's that. So the bottom line here for this whole series is this, that the way we manage our money says more about who we are and whose we are than most anything else. And that when we make this paradigm shift from being the owner to being a manager, everything changes. Because if you can make that shift and know that money can add meaning to your life and that it's doesn't make a good master, and if you would track your master's money, here's what will happen. I think you're going to live better, you're going to love better, you're going to be more generous, and you are going to experience a much deeper sense of purpose about your life. Because again, money is not the meaning of your life. It can add meaning. And it just simply doesn't make a good master. So, don't be mastered by your money. Instead, make the shift and start tracking and remember that you are your master's child, and he calls you to a deeper, richer way of life. And money is simply a means to get to the end that is the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, sometimes we are so hard on ourselves, especially when it comes to this topic. Help us to remember we don't have to feel guilty, but instead help us to get clarity around our vision, our end. To what end do you want our life to lead to so that our money will follow? Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage to tell money to no longer to be our master, but rather that it can be a vehicle to an end, and it's that end to which we have our meaning and purpose. We give you thanks, Lord, in your name. Amen.